I am a faithful Vikings fan, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and having some victory over being abusive and learning contentment. Amen. So, tonight we have a lesson on moral, and I'm just getting my Kindle to the right page. All right. So we've got a principle and a step, and I think we should read those together. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So, another thing about me, other than growing up in Minnesota, is that I grew up Roman Catholic, and Roman Catholics have this thing called confession. Any Roman Catholics out there? A few? There we go. So it's a rite of confession. You go into this dark room, it's like a closet, and the priest slides open a little wooden door, and you whisper your sins, because if you say it too loud, people outside will hear you and it won't be private anymore. So you whisper your sins, and they give you some prayers to say to absolve you from your sins. And then you come back the next week. I never forget the first time I went to confession, I was naming names. And the priest said, just stop a minute. I don't need to know the names. And I was going, wow. That's different. So I followed his advice and just said, yeah. So I had an issue with my brother, but I didn't have to mention his name. And then confession worked a lot better. So confession, you know, Protestants, we do have confession because confession's in the Bible. And if you go to a small group, you're going to hear what open and honest confession is about. If you hear a testimony, you're going to learn what open confession is all about. So there is a right and wrong. There is morality in the world. There is a measure of right and wrong. We find it in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And we teach upon it just about every week. So our focus this week is moral. I might have to get out my glasses. I'm at that point where I have these things. Okay. All right. So when it comes to morality, you know, some questions come up right away. Are there absolutes in morality, or do I just have to be better than somebody else? Do I have to just be better than my brother at home, or my dad, or my siblings? Does God grade on a curve? You know, you might have questions like that. How good do I have to be? If I obey all Oregon and federal laws, is that morality? So we're going to find out about morality in our teachings. And we've got an acrostic, and there should be five letters on it in your handout. So one of the things we do in recovery in this whole process of steps that we have, I mean, we have a step study, which is separate than our teaching tonight, but the people in the step study go into this in much more detail. And one of the principles was, you know, we make an inventory, we make a list of maybe wrongs we've done to other people, or how we've been wronged by other people. And so we're going to take a look at this. And the first fill in the blank is M for make time. So if you're going to do an inventory, it's going to take you some time to do that inventory. So when I did my very first inventory in Celebrate Recovery, it took up 12 pages. So writing out 12 pages, that's a lot of stuff, that's a lot of life issues, that's a lot of instances. I didn't do it all at one time. It probably took me 5 or 6 times of sitting down for an hour or two each. So maybe the 12 pages, maybe that took 15, 20 hours of work. So you want to be thorough, and you want to be at a place where you've got time to do it. So not a good place would be, you know, at a Starbucks, because it's noisy and it's not private and you're going to have interruptions. You probably want to have time where your cell phone is turned off and you're not reading emails. You probably want to have time where you're not watching Netflix while you're doing your list. So you want to get rid of all these distractions in life. Your spouse could be a distraction. Your children could be a distraction. A lot of distractions. So you have to schedule time to sit down and do this. You know, maybe a quiet place like the library is a good spot. Maybe it's going out into the woods and having a time with your notebook to write out your list. Next fill in the blank is O for open. So if you're going to make a list of wrongs or hurts that you've had in life, you have to be open about it. You have to be real about it. I think there should be a scripture verse for open. Is there one for Job 7:11? Let's read this one. Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul. Job 7:11. So it's okay to be upset and pissed off when you're doing your list. People may have wronged you. People may have hurt you. You may even think God has wronged you or God has hurt you, you know, if some disaster comes upon you that was no fault of your own. So you have to be real about it. And the only way you're going to get healing is to be open about it. A lot of times in our society, if you have trauma in your life, people don't want to talk about it. They want to just stuff it, put it behind them, and don't talk about it. So if somebody dies, we have euphemisms. We say, well, they've moved on. They've been graduated to heaven. You know, they've gone someplace else. Well, reality is, you know, they've died. And that's, if you love that person, you're going to have some hurt because you can't talk to them anymore like you used to. So it's okay to admit that you have hurt. So when you are starting making your list, some of these emotions are going to come out. And the degree that you share and are open about the hurts in your life is the same degree God's going to heal you. But if I don't lift up my hurts and my brokenness to God, He can't heal me. Okay? So I have to be open about it. These may be things you've never even said out loud before to anybody else because they're so deep, they're so dark, they're so embarrassing. You're so ashamed that it happened to you. You're ashamed that you're a victim. You're ashamed that you're an abuser. You're ashamed you got caught. A lot of stuff's going to come up, but we have to be open about it. And this is a safe place to go through that process. Facebook is not a safe place to do your step study and your recovery work, okay? So in my openness, in my journey, I learned going to CR that using sarcasm was wrong. Because using sarcasm would put somebody else down, make them look stupid, and make me look superior. I use sarcasm a lot because it would get a laugh. And I thought if people laughed with me, they would like me and accept me. So for me, sarcasm was a way to be likable. But in recovery, a light bulb went off, and I found out I was putting people down, and words do hurt people. And so I tried to stop doing sarcasm. With pornography and issues like that, I learned that, you know, the Bible teaches looking at a woman with lustful thoughts and lustful desires, Jesus considers that adultery. And so he's just calling sin, sin, and I have to come clean about it and say, hey, I have that issue. God, what do I do? How do I change that behavior? But if I don't admit that I have that issue, I'm not going to change. You know, I had to be open in my inventory about what I did at work. So for a period of about a year, I was traveling on business, and I would go out and order drinks. And then I would write up my expense report. I was entertaining business associates. So I was lying on my expense report. I got caught. I had to pay back all that money. It was very embarrassing. And I actually had to leave the company because I couldn't stand looking at the person, my manager, who I'd lied to on my expense reports for a year. But you have to come clean. You have to come open about the wrong you've done in your life, and then you can get healing. I'll jump ahead. We are going to do lessons on what we do with this list, and we're actually going to do amends. So with that person, that manager that I lied to, I came clean to him and told him what a stupid thing that was, and that I was really sorry for my bad behavior. So I came clean with him and just came out with it. And we had an exchange back and forth, and our relationship is different now. But I had to come clean first. I had to take the first step. So I had to be open that I've got some bad habits. If you don't know what your bad habits are, listen to the people that know you most and love you most. They will tell you what your bad behavior is. Trust me. They will tell you what your bad behavior is if you're having a shortage of ideas. You know, with addictions, a lot of times when we hear addictions, you know, we think drugs, booze, we think brokenness, but there are applauded addictions. You can work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. You're going to get a lot of applause from your manager, but that's, and you could be living on that applause. I've done that. I've worked 60, 70, 80 hours a week to get the attaboys from my manager. That's an applauded addiction. I've gone cycling 7 days a week. And then on Strava, all my buddies go, all right, awesome, epic adventure. Now I'm down to 4 days a week. So I think I'm more in balance. But you can have an addiction that's applauded and people give you attaboys for it, but you're out of balance. You know, you're not in God's will for your life. Next letter that we're going to fill in is R for rely. We're going to rely on God. Do we have a Bible verse for that one, rely? Let's read this one in Psalms 31. Love the Lord, all of you who are his people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to him. So cheer up. Take courage if you are depending on the Lord. Psalm 31, 23, 24. So God's going to protect us. If we're loving him, if we're seeking him, if we're opening up to him, if we're relying on him to change us. You know, with all my best efforts, I couldn't change myself. But going to God and his word and finding out what my habits were and my hurts and how I was coping, God gave me the antidote. So, for example, God gave me the antidote to sarcasm. You know, if you have sarcasm in your life, your one antidote is called affirmation. So with affirmation, you look at people and you look at them to do something right. Like here we have Marcus in the front row, and he organizes an annual bike ride to raise money for a charity. Well done, Marcus. So, you know, with critical thinking, you look and you wait for someone to do something wrong, and then you let them verbally have it. But the antidote is affirmation, looking for someone to do something right and letting them know about it. We do a lot of affirmation when somebody dies. All the affirmation pours out. Okay, here, try this. Before a person dies, tell them what good they have meant to you. They'll be freaked out that you're affirming them because our society doesn't affirm, but it's biblical to affirm. And it will slow down and counteract maybe that negative habit of sarcasm, maybe that negative habit of critical spirit. So when I rely upon God, God's word tells us that he's trustworthy and that we can pour our heart out to him, that he's safe, that he's not condemning of what we're saying. If you read the Psalms, the psalmist, David, Solomon, and others are pouring out their hearts to God. They're relying upon God and God's graciousness and God's mercy to answer them and to hear them. So that's a great place to go to learn how to rely upon God and be patient and wait for him to change you. So in recovery, you know, we're talking about behaviors. We can change our behaviors, our circumstances. Our life may still be in chaos, but we're responding differently. So in recovery, we don't guarantee that your life will all be Disneyland and Super Bowl and unicorns. You know, you still may have toughness in your life, but the way you respond to it is going to be different. You don't need to act out. You don't need to cope. You don't need to do the crazy cycle again if you rely on God. The next fill in the blank is A, for analyze. So we need to analyze why we're doing the things we're doing. So with sarcasm, I realized I was using sarcasm as a way to get people to like me. I want to be loved. I want to be liked. So I'm going to do this technique, and then people are going to like me more. They're going to appreciate me more. In truth, if someone is your friend, they're your friend whether you're funny or you're serious. They're just your friend. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. They've decided to be your friend. That's a true friend. Do we have a Proverbs verse with analyze? Let's read the Proverbs 20:27. The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. Proverbs 20:27. So I was not really good at analyzing my crazy cycles and my triggers in life. But you know who was better at analyzing me? Was my sponsor. My sponsor could just see through that and go, you're setting yourself up for a trigger, you're setting yourself up for a failure, you know, don't do that thing anymore. Take away that trigger and you'll act differently. Take away that environment and the outcome will be different. So in recovery, we really encourage you to get into a step study, get a sponsor, tell the sponsor what's going on in your life, and get that feedback, get that analysis. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you coping in life and being hurtful or not being successful? Or maybe you're being stuck and you just can't change yourself. So you need to analyze what's going on. The last fill in the blank in our lesson is L, for list. So we're going to start making a list in inventory, and we're going to have lessons that really go into this in detail, but this is just a general idea that we're going to make a list of life instances. So I told you about cheating on my expense report, so that's one thing. The times that I used sarcasm and hurt other people and never apologized. So I use sarcasm on my sister. I use sarcasm on my brother. I use sarcasm at work. And so I'm just making a list of all the instances I can remember. Your list, when you start making it, doesn't have to be chronological. It can be in any order you want to. You just want to be thorough and you want to get some resolution of it. There should be a Bible verse here. I think it's Lamentations 3:40. Let's read this. Let us examine our ways and test them. Lamentations 3:40. So we do have to examine our life. We don't have to live in the past. We should live in the present. But I do have to go backwards in time a little bit to be thorough, to find out the repetition, to find out the patterns. You know, when did I start this behavior? You know, why did I start this behavior? What is this behavior? What's the promise of this behavior? What has it been telling me that it's going to give me? We have to be thorough in our list. So we will have upcoming lessons that will really go into this in detail. And there are just a lot of really great questions that we need to answer to be thorough in this listing process. So I'm just going to list off some of the questions that you're going to find when you do a step study. So one of the questions you're going to get in this examination to make your list, is there anything I feel guilty about? You know, do I feel guilty about something? You know, guilt is actually a good thing. Guilt means that you still have a conscience. So if you have a conscience and you have the Holy Spirit in your life, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to convict you of doing the wrong thing. So we need a little voice in us that tells us, hey, that behavior, that comment, what you did or didn't do, that was hurtful to somebody else, or that was hurtful to yourself. And that will spark, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I'm guilty of harming somebody. I'm guilty of breaking maybe one of the Ten Commandments. So guilt is a good thing. The other thing the Bible teaches us when we do realize that we've harmed somebody is to confess our fault to God, and obviously confess the fault to the person that we've harmed. And that will be a step in the process that we call amends. So we should have convictions about right behavior and wrong behavior. If we have convictions in our life, then our morality, you know, is measured on those convictions. You know, is this behavior right? Is this behavior wrong? You'll be convicted of it. We are in a spiritual journey. We do have an adversary in our spiritual life. The adversary we call the devil. The devil likes to use condemnation. The devil likes to say, so if you hear these things in your head, these are from our adversary. The adversary says, you'll never change. The adversary says, it's only going to get worse. The adversary says, you're just going to do it again. The adversary says, you can't change, so just give up, give into it. Do more. Do more wrong. Do more research. And those are voices that we have to counteract with the truth. Another question that you're going to use in helping you make this list, this inventory, this moral inventory, is what do I resent? Who do I resent? So for me on resentment, growing up, I resented my siblings for their lifestyle. I resented my parents for being alcoholics. I resented my parents for their low education level. I resented a sibling who was a rageaholic. I resented myself for being judgmental. I resented myself for being laid off from the best job I had in my life. I resented myself for physically assaulting a son. I resented myself for being separated from my wife and family for over a year. So we're making this list of resentments that we have. We all have resentments. If you say you have no resentments, you're a perfect person and you're the first person that I've met in 62 years that has arrived. Maybe you should write a book. So I don't have to live with that hurt and with those resentments. And in recovery, we're not going to let you lay in your resentments, okay? But we have to bring them up instead of stuffing them and hiding them. Other questions you're going to ask in helping you make this list are, who do I fear and what do I fear? So for me, I have feared losing my job. I feared not being able to pay my bills. I feared that I was going to lose my marriage. I feared that I was going to lose relationship with my children. I feared I would lose my freelance business. And I have feared entering retirement. So these are some of the fears I have in my life. Your fears might look different. You can also ask yourself in this list process, do I have any thoughts of self-pity or dishonest thinking? So just quick summary, make time to do your moral inventory. O, open up to God, get honest with God and with others about what's really happening in your life. R, you're going to rely on God to reveal to you the hurts, habits, and hangups in your life and not hold back. A, you're going to analyze or get someone to speak into your life like a sponsor so you understand why your crazy cycle keeps going on. And L, you're going to list all these life issues that are unresolved and that you'd really like to change. So it's a process. We're here to come alongside you to make you successful in that process. It works best if you go to a step study and keep coming back to group every week. I'm not the same person that walked in here. How many years ago was it, David? 16 years ago. So I'm not the same person. He's not the same person. I'm encouraged by him. He is encouraged by me. We're encouraging each other. We're brothers in Christ. And, you know, this stuff works. And I enjoy coming here every week. And thank you for listening tonight. And I think it's time for the next step. Thank you.